Is anyone excited this morning to hear from the Messiah? Oh, I thought you weren't there for a minute. All right, well, stand with me as we read God's word. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 to 19 reads, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later.'" This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Give God thanks. Let's pray. Father, we come into your awesome, holy presence, and we want to hear from you. We want to hear your voice louder than anything else. So I pray that you would remove all distractions from our minds. I pray that you'd give us eyes to see. I ask that you'd give us ears that will hear you. And may our hearts be transformed to go and do your will. Father, may you be high and lifted up. Draw men, women, boys, girls to you today. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So last week we came to his feet, and this week we are going to stay at his feet. Because his feet are not just a place to begin, they are a place to live. At his feet, sorrow is met with compassion, gratitude turns into worship, and awe fuels a life that flourishes. So the question this morning is, do you want to flourish in 2026? I do too. So start here. Start where? Here at Jesus' feet. So in 2025, I shared that I completed this remarkable journey writing the entire New Testament from Matthew straight through to Revelation. And it took me 3.5 years. It didn't take me 3.5 years because I was spending every single moment of my time doing it. But it took me 3.5 years because every time I saw a nugget of truth, I would rest and wrestle with it and mull it over in my mind. So it took longer than I expected. I learned this. There is nothing compared to being in the presence of God. Nothing compares to it. So I have another question for you. Who in this room enjoys spending time with someone they love? All right, almost everybody. Some people don't like spending time with others. When I was dating Jody, I just got my driver's license. I was 17, and that allowed for certain privileges, such as running errands for the family. And when they asked me to go run errands, I would call Jody up on the home phone, because back in that time we didn't have cell phones. And I'd ask her, "Do you want to come with me?" And she would say yes. And I would lose track of time because I was spending some time with someone I loved. Now, Jody, you know I love you, right? But even the best moments pale in comparison with time that is spent in Jesus' presence. And I'm positive it's the same for her, that the time spent in Jesus' presence is greater than that time spent with me. And King David penned it like this in Psalm 16, verse 11. "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So, I ask you, I encourage you, I implore you, long for God's presence. Long for it. Hunger for it. And guard that time that you get to spend with Jesus. You see, in 2026, many things are going to compete for that time. And some of them are good things. Some of them are even necessary. And some are truly important. Does family matter?
Yes.
Does rest matter?
Yes.
Does your health matter?
Yes.
We need all of these things to survive. But time with the one who gave everything is most important. Time with Jesus trumps all of these, and it matters most. So, in our first encounter this week, we find two sisters at the feet of Jesus. Luke 10, 38 to 42 reads, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.'" So we find Mary sitting at the Lord's feet, listening, learning. Martha, however, is distracted, like we are from time to time. Jesus did not rebuke Martha for serving. He corrected her for being distracted. He commended Mary because Mary chose what was better. And again, I want to encourage us to choose what is better. What is better? Exercise? What is better? Sleep? What is better? Family or fun? Those are all good things, but time at the feet of Jesus is better. When Jesus shared with Mary and Martha that Mary chose what was better, it was like Jesus was giving Martha two options. It was like Jesus was saying, "Martha, you have the option to do some chores, or you have the option to choose to breathe." And Mary chose to breathe. So, in our lives, it will not be easy, but it is absolutely necessary to choose time at Jesus' feet. Time in the Holy Scriptures, time being still after reading and praying. And I want to camp out here for a little bit and recommend something to you. So, we tend to be a task-oriented people, and we oftentimes think just reading the Bible is sufficient. Just praying is sufficient. But I want to challenge you to take 5 minutes after reading, 5 minutes after praying, and just stop it. Pause and listen, because this time was made to be interactive, where we talk to God and he talked to us, where the word speaks and we respond. It was not meant to be a monologue where we do and then we move. After reading, after praying, set some time to just be still. Listen, meditate, reflect on God's word. Reflect on the things you have prayed. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and listened. So, before you do anything for Jesus, sit with him. Before you serve, listen and learn from him. Again, Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do every single moment of every single day because he stopped and listened and spent time in the presence of his Father. Why should we do any different? Busy hands can hide bitter and bruised hearts. So listen at the feet of Jesus. It might not remove all the pain, but listening at the feet of Jesus will hold you steady when pain remains. You know what? I've never spent time in the scriptures. I've never spent time writing the scriptures for an hour or praying for 30 minutes and walked away and thought, you know, I just wasted an hour or 30 minutes of my life. Never happened. But you know what has happened? I have spent an hour watching soccer or an hour with some people or 30 minutes talking to someone, and I've walked away and said, you know, I just wasted an hour or 30 minutes of my life. Can anyone relate to that? But even after leaving on a high in God's word, being encouraged after leaving the feet of the teacher, the Messiah, we can find ourselves in painful life experiences. And Mary gets a sequel in the recorded encounters at Jesus' feet. She gets another opportunity at Jesus' feet, but this time, the experience is a little different. Things are a lot more difficult because grief hits hard. So John wrote in John chapter 11, verse 13 to 35, on arriving, Jesus found that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Here we see the posture of Martha's heart changing because she runs to Jesus. She wants to be at his feet first this time and not distracted. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you were here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And Jesus wept. In grief, when we lose loved ones in death, rest assured that Jesus weeps with us. Mary falls at his feet again, but this time with tears. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And that there is honest grief. That is faithful sorrow. That is belief mixed with pain. And Jesus wept. I want to remind you that Jesus cares deeply about our loss. Remember, it is Jesus who told us, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Not "they might be comforted," they will be comforted. And Jesus assures us comfort is coming. Jesus provides the comfort. He provides the comforter. So Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 1, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." And then Jesus wanted to remind us that he provides a comforter. So John wrote, as Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you, not just in your moment of desperation when you need comfort, but forever." So we see Jesus provides comfort. He provides a comforter, but he doesn't just leave it there. He provides community. And that's one of the reasons why we have grief share here at our church. We sit with you at Jesus' feet. And I want to encourage those who are grieving to grieve honestly. Because Jesus encourages us to mourn because comfort is coming. Jesus was present with the sisters, and he will be present with us. And while Mary and Martha got to witness one of the most powerful miracles, their brother being raised to life by Jesus, we also have that hope coming. Because Jesus said it. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." So my question to you is this: do you believe this? That does not sound convincing. Yes. Yes. I do too. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for a moment. Lord, I want to take this moment and present to you those who are grieving. I ask that you would comfort them, that you would provide your Holy Spirit to be their comforter, and that you would allow our community to walk alongside them so that you can provide the peace and comfort that you promised. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Grief, when it is laid down, can make room for new kinds of responses. Not just questions, but a place to show gratitude. So, guess who gets another encounter at the feet of Jesus? Guess. Who? We do. That's correct. But Mary does. Mary gets another opportunity after learning, after listening, after grieving, to worship and give gratitude at Jesus' feet. John 12, 1-8 outlines, 6 days after the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, who Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It is worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. So Mary can't help but show gratitude for all that Jesus is to her. She pours out, holding nothing back. Now, think about this. The sacrifice that Mary poured out was worth 1 year's wage. Giving up in one moment, everything poured out. And think about it again. Mary could have used a piece of cloth with the perfume and wiped Jesus' feet. Or she could have used her hands. But in all that she saw and experienced in Jesus Christ, she took her hair, bowing down in awe to wipe his feet with her hair. Oh, how are we showing Jesus our gratitude? Are we pouring out our best for Jesus? Are we satisfied with what we are gifting him? Her gratitude filled the room. And I had this experience once regarding my worship where the Holy Spirit had to check me. Has the Holy Spirit ever checked anyone in this room before? And in more churchy terms, has the Holy Spirit ever convicted anyone in this room? So, this concerned my idol worship around sports in the past. And while I was on a basketball team, sitting on the bench, the referee made a bad call. And a still shot was taken of me in that moment. And I tell you, every single vein in my neck was standing when I was shouting at the referee. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit was like, do you provide the same zeal when you are in worship? And I was like, no, I don't. So I made a commitment in that moment that I would not hold back in worship. I would sing to the top of my lungs because Jesus deserves all the worship and honor and glory and power and dominion. So I encourage you, as I encourage myself, Jesus declared, it was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. Jesus deserves our best. Say it with me. Jesus deserves our best. He deserves the best of our gratitude, the best of our worship, the best of our time, the best of our resources, the best of our giftings. Is Jesus getting the best of your giftings, the best of your time? And that's a question only you can answer. That's a question that only I can answer. So a friendly reminder here. The greatest command is this one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Man. That's a whole lot. But Jesus deserves the best of it. Be focused on giving Jesus your best. Matthew described the second to last encounter that we will have at Jesus' feet. It's a very unusual one, very unique. Matthew 28, 8 to 10. So the woman hurried away from the tomb after, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Now, this experience is so unusual because you and I will never have an encounter with the resurrected king as the first eyewitnesses. So it's very unusual. And what makes it so unique is that it was the women who first witnessed this encounter. You see, the witness of a woman was carried no credibility in that time. And God wanted to provide evidence that if they were going to record this, they would have probably used something, the witness of men. But God wanted to show how positive and powerful the scriptures are by affirming that even what you think won't work, I'm going to use. After the resurrection, the woman take hold of his feet and worshipped. Just for a moment, think about the anguish the woman felt. So, days before, they would have seen Jesus tortured before their eyes. And this was one of those moments where they would have seen Jesus' feet face to face. While he's hanging on the cross, they were looking at his feet face to face. Now, a few days later, they see the resurrected king. On the cross, this is one moment when they were at his feet. Now, they were also at his feet in this moment in awe and worship. They had seen the cross. Now they see the risen Savior. Worship flows from our realization that Jesus is worthy of everything. I want you to say this one with me. Jesus is worthy of everything. And Matthew describes it this way. Matthew says, the kingdom of heaven is like the treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then, in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. God has provided Jesus for us, and I assure you, he is worth everything. So, my question for you this morning is, what are you going to let go of in 2026 to gain more of Jesus? What are you going to give up to gain more of Jesus? And for me, I would say number one would be screen time. Does anyone in here know what screen time is? Yes. I'm going to give up as well more money. I want to give more this year than I gave last year. Because Jesus is the treasure. Jesus is the treasure. Once one has an encounter with him, realizing what he did to restore, redeem, ransom, and reconcile us to his Father, one can't help but to bow down in awe and worship. Then the New Testament gives us one more picture, not only of worship in a home, not only of worship on a road, but worship in the presence of glory. John writes in Revelation 1, 9-18, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches of Ephesus, Samaria, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his face was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. John falls at the feet of Jesus. And I would too. That description is amazing. Frightening. I'd be trembling in my boots. As though dead. But Jesus tells him not to be afraid. The same Jesus who receives our tears receives our worship. The same Jesus who heals also reigns. When we cannot stand, he doesn't crush us. He strengthens you and he strengthens me. So, at the feet of Jesus, we can listen, we can weep, we can worship, and we can surrender. So my prayer is that moving forward, Jesus would be our first choice. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
So I invite you on this journey to take a small step. A small step to new rhythm. So on January 15th to February 5th, on a Thursday, I'll meet you in the library to write through the book of Matthew. We'll do that together. There will be pie, there will be hot chocolate, and there will be scripture. I'm trying to bribe you, you see. Small steps to life-changing rhythms at the feet of Jesus. Application. Today, I am committing in God's presence at the altar that I want to give my best to Jesus in 2026. Will anyone join me here at the altar? Will anyone join me in giving Jesus their best in 2026. If you want to, you can come and we will pray. Pastor Sean, Pastor Ray, you can just come and support and lay hands on them with me as we commit to that together. People are still coming. Pastor Dan. Let us pray. Sovereign God, we come into your presence. Second week of a new year. And we want to give you our best. So we pledge today that as a body, as brothers and sisters, that we will endeavor to do our best. But God, not in our own strength. I pray that when we are weak, you will make us strong. We invite your Holy Spirit to empower us and embolden us. Your word declares, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. So God, I pray right now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to complete the assignment for this year. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I know that there are those who might be seated or who may have come forward today to give their best to God, who have not made a life-changing commitment to follow Christ. And I want to pray with you as we close that you would commit your life to following Christ, surrender, and experience some of what Mary experienced at the feet of Jesus. So let's pray again. God, I know that there are hearts in this room that has never given themselves in complete surrender to you. I thank you for them hearing your words this morning, and I pray that those words would fall on fertile soil. And Lord, we commit to walking alongside them as you have instructed us. So we thank you for their commitment, and we hope that we will get to walk alongside them in believers' baptism. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.